Of course, all the Bible is inspired by God, God's word to us. It's all important and useful. But there are some passages in the Bible which are particularly crucial and momentous. And our first reading today is one of those. It's the call of Abraham. Abraham, or Abraham, the great founding father of Israel, of Judaism. And the rest of the Bible could be seen as the fulfillment of these promises to Abraham. And Judith's going to read it for us from Genesis 12. No particular need to turn to this unless you want to.
Page 13 in your Bibles on the pews. The call of Abraham. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Judith. So lots we could say about that passage, but for our purposes today, we might just notice this verse. The Lord had said to Abraham, so Abraham left as God told him to. Abraham, or Abraham, takes God at his word. He believes the promise and he acts on it. He puts into practice. And the Bible sees Abraham as a great example of faith because of that. In the New Testament, in the letter to the Hebrews, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He trusted God." We're going to read about Abraham in our second reading too. You might like to turn to this. It's Romans chapter 4. So we're going to read the first five verses and then skip to verse 13. Vivian is reading it for us. Romans chapter 4, verse 1, page 1131 in the Pew Bible.
"What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness." Moving on to verse 13. "It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations.' He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know if you're doing Lent in any way. There's no particular law that says you should, but maybe you're, you know, making great efforts at self-denial and self-control. Perhaps you're particularly working hard at growing in godliness, maybe giving some extra time to prayer and Bible reading and so on. Great things to do. But maybe if it's going well, you're perhaps slightly tempted to think, what I do is fantastic. God must be really pleased. Or maybe you've fallen off the wagon already. You've already had lots of booze and chocolate that you told yourself you wouldn't have for 40 days. Maybe you're pretty depressed and despairing. Well, I thought, particularly as it's Lent, it might be helpful for us to get back to basics, to this fundamental question of how we're put right with God, which Paul is talking about here in Romans. We can have the first slide up, Matthew. It's to do with justification. That is, how are we declared in the right with God? How are our sins forgiven? How are we counted as righteous? Sometimes people say justified. It's just as if I've never sinned. See what they did there? Justified, just as if I'd never sinned, you see. Okay. So, how are we justified? And Paul has been talking about this great question in Romans. Ever since chapter 1 and verse 18, he's been making the case that everyone is a sinner who deserves the righteous judgment of God. And after he's talked a lot about this problem, he starts to talk about the solution in chapter 3, particularly from verse 21 onwards. So it'd be worth reading the whole section, but we could read, if our eyesight was a bit better, chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. God presented him, the Lord Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Well, look at verse 26. God did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So the death of the Lord Jesus was God's just way of justifying the unjust. God's righteous way of putting sinful people right with him, because Jesus takes the penalty that we deserve so that we don't have to. And Paul proves that from the account of Abraham in the Old Testament, the great forefather of Judaism. He says, well, this is how Abraham was put right with God, and this is how you too are put right with God. So, three contrasts about how Abraham was justified and about how we are justified. Let's have the next one, please, Matthew. So, first of all, justified by faith, not by works. You can see that there in verses 2 and 3. For if in fact Abraham was justified by works, by anything he did or by anything about himself, maybe by being Jewish and keeping the Jewish law and so on, he had something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was justified by faith, not by works, by believing God, by faith, by receiving God's promise and depending on it, by trusting in God. We saw a moment ago the judge, and this is a passage both about lawyers and accountants. oh, that first here, it was counted or credited to him as righteous. If we've trusted in Jesus, God has written us down in his account book as righteous. He's credited us as righteous, counted us righteous. Justified by faith, not by works. Second, justified by God's gift or God's grace, God's kindness and generosity, which we were seeing about. Not by obligation or by wages. Just look at verse 4. Now, when a person works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. Just imagine this, it's the end of the week or at the end of the month, and your employer comes along. You've been working hard all week, and he says to you, I've got a great gift for you. It's a brown envelope, and in the envelope is your paycheck. You can go home and ask your parents what a check is. Okay. Gives you the paycheck. He says, here's my generous gift to you. Your paycheck. You would say, what are you talking about? I earned it. I kept my contract. It's not a gift, is it? It's an obligation. It's not, are you feeling generous this week or this month? Are you going to pay me? No, I deserve it because of all my hard work. It's an obligation or a wage. It's not a gift. It's not a matter of grace. Well, Paul is saying, it's not like that with God. We don't have to earn God's favour. We can't. If it was a matter of what we deserve, Paul has already said, well, we've all broken God's law. We all deserve his judgment. The Christian faith is not a matter of trying to work our way into God's good books by laying off the chocolate. It's a matter of his gift, his generosity, his grace, his undeserved love for us. Faith, not works. Gift or grace, not obligation or wages. And lastly, justified by promise, not by law. Now this little bit is all a little bit involved. But Paul says, it's not through the law, we'll be talking about the law of Moses there, this is verse 13, that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, because after all, the law of Moses was given a long time after Abraham. Abraham had the promise, not the law of Moses. No, it was through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. What does the law do? Well, one thing is that it reveals you to be, it marks you out as a lawbreaker. In a way, it kind of intensifies your guilt, doesn't it? Verse 15, the law brings wrath. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. That doesn't mean there was no sin before the law of Moses. Of course not. People did things wrong all the time, but they weren't necessarily sinning by breaking a commandment. Imagine you're walking in the countryside one day, and as so often happens to me, you can't quite tell where the footpath goes. Seems to peter out. You wander off the footpath. Terrible crime. You've done wrong, haven't you? But it's rather different if you're on a really well-marked footpath, and you see the gate. It's covered in barbed wire. It says, trespassers will be prosecuted. Private, no entry. You think, oh, but that field looks so wonderful. What a great shortcut it would be. I must go through that field. And you cut the barbed wire and you climb over. You've broken a law, haven't you? You're a trespasser. You're very clearly breaking a commandment. And that's one of the things that the law of Moses does for us, to the law of the Bible. It reveals our sin. It shows us to be lawbreakers. It shows us to be in need of God's promise, his grace, his generosity. So then, to sum up last slide, we are justified not by law but by promise, not by works or earning God's favour but by grace, by God's gift, by his generosity. So it's a great encouragement, isn't it, to us today and every day in Lent and in always, yes, to try to be godly and to make every effort, but to remember that we're depending on God's generosity, not our performance. Paul says it excludes boasting. There's level ground at the cross, isn't there? We're all sinners who need mercy. No boasting. And Paul says, if we trust God like Abraham did, we belong to the family of Abraham. We have new life and a new identity. God loves to give life to the dead and call into being things that are not. He's made us his people, his family. It's wonderful, good news to thank God for and to share with others, isn't it? Perhaps we leave that slide up, Matthew, and we'll just have a moment to think, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Father, we thank you for your love for us, for the death of the Lord Jesus in our place, which was your just way of justifying sinners like us. We marvel that you are the great righteous God who justifies the ungodly. Thank you for your kindness and generosity to us. We pray that you would give us humble, thankful hearts, that we might delight to be your people, and that we might share this great good news with others, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.